Good evening. Let's open tonight's service with hymn number 18 from your Spiral Gospel Hymns hymnbook, number 18, and let's all stand together.
God gave his holy inspired word for only one great end, the prophets and apostles to reveal the sinner's friend. The Bible is a book of Christ, it only speaks of him. On every page it shows us Christ, it only speaks of him. The prophecies of old record God's wondrous mighty deeds. Those deeds of power and of grace set forth a woman's seed. The Bible is a book of Christ, it only speaks of him. On every page it shows us Christ, it only speaks of him. The prophets all reveal our Lord as prophet, priest, and king. The types the great redemption show, Christ's blood and grace now bring. The Bible is a book of Christ, it only speaks of him. On every page it shows us Christ, it only speaks of him. Behold the Lamb, the Baptist said, the sin-atoning one. As it was promised long before, God's Son as man has come. The Bible is a book of Christ, it only speaks of him. On every page it shows us Christ, it only speaks of him. Our substitute obeyed the law, then died and rose again. And in his word our Savior said, rejoice, I come again. The Bible is a book of Christ, it only speaks of him. On every page it shows us Christ, it only speaks of him.
Please be seated.
Good evening. The vast majority of people that call themselves Christians don't believe what we just sang. They believe the Bible is lots of things, but they don't believe that it only speaks of Christ. What a blessing. That's really what I want to preach on tonight. Will you open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, that knowledge puffs up. And there's a lot of men that pride themselves in having knowledge. They don't really know anything. Here's the Apostle Paul may have been the most well-educated, intellectual person that's ever lived. And he said of himself, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let's pray. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we come into thy glorious presence with fear and trembling, knowing, Lord, that you are in the heavens and we are upon the earth, and that our words are to be few. Lord, we thank you that you've given to us your own dear Son as the mediator, the advocate between man and God. And Lord, how hopeful we are that you would send your Spirit in power in this hour, and that you would reveal to us more of Christ, who he is, and what he's accomplished to save sinners. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Number 125 in the hardback hymnal, 125, Jesus Paid It All. Let's all stand together again.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Please be seated.
Will you open your Bibles with me to Psalm 119? Psalm 119. And we're going to be looking mostly at verse 27. I've titled this message, Make Me to Understand. Make Me to Understand. A lot of students of the Bible in the world. Very few that have understood the meaning of it. And if the Lord doesn't make us to understand, if he doesn't cause us to perceive and to discern the difference, then we'll be just like everybody else, and we'll do what the prophet Isaiah said of the men of his day. We will turn the Bible into nothing more than precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that we may stumble and fall over the Word of God. If God is pleased, if he's pleased to send his Spirit in power and open the eyes of our understanding, he'll reveal to us the glory of his Son. And that hymn that we sang, it's all about him. It is all about him. Lord, if you don't show me the truth of who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what he has accomplished, the Word of God will remain a mystery to us. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, that they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. What is the power of godliness? Well, the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Every time we come together, as we said Sunday, oh Lord, enable us to see Christ and enable us to believe him, to rest our hope in him. Reveal to us his glorious person and his accomplished work. In that passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3, when Paul said, they have a form of godliness, but they deny Christ, his glory and salvation. They deny the power thereof. He goes on to say, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They are ever learning. Students of the Bible, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And you and I are not able to come to the knowledge of the truth except that God would make us. What did the Lord say to Nicodemus? Said Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't perceive of it. He can't understand it. He can't discern it. He knows nothing about Christ, who he is and what he's done, unless the Spirit of God breathes life into his heart and opens his eyes, causes him to see. That's what you and I are in need of, aren't we? We will miss Christ in the scriptures, and we will be guilty of ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We will be guilty of having a form of godliness. How easy it is to have a form of godliness. We can all put on the outward appearances of being the people of God and being children of God. Religious people do that all the time. But they deny the power there. I want to know about the power of godliness. I want to know who Christ is, and I want God to make him known to me. Here's our text. Look at verse 27. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Now, precepts is a reference to the whole of God's word. And so David is saying, Lord, make me to understand the way of your word. Cause me to see Christ in your word. So then I shall talk of thy wondrous works. Lord, I'll declare what you've done if you'll show me what you've done. If you'll reveal to me from your word what you've done. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 17. Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus. And he says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Make me to know the way of thy precepts. Lord, reveal to me the knowledge of Christ, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, and that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance is for the saints. Oh, Lord, this is what I want. I want to know. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we'll see him as he is and be made like him. And the more we see of him now, the more we can rejoice in the glory that shall be revealed in us. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves. We're not glorying in ourselves. We're not promoting ourselves. We preach a lot of that going on in religion. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. We know that light was Christ. The sun and the moons weren't made till the fourth day, and yet at the very beginning of creation, let there be light, and there was light. That light was Christ. And as God caused the light to shine out of darkness, so he has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ is the knowledge of the glory of God. Whatever we know about God, whatever we see of him, we're going to discover it. It's going to be revealed to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So every believer's prayer, Lord, make me. You know, go back with me to our text. Make me to understand. How many defiant children have said to one of their peers, make me, make me. And yet the child of God, just the opposite spirit, bows before the Lord and says, Lord, if you don't make me, I won't. Lord, I've got to be made. I can't get there on my own. Make me willing in the day of your power. The Lord said, the leper said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. Lord, be willing to make me whole. Lord, I know you're the only one that can do it. You're the only one that can do it. Habakkuk said, the Lord is my strength. He will make my feet to be like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon high places. If he doesn't give me feet like hinds' feet, I won't be able to walk on the high places where he's made himself known. These are the high places of his word where Christ is revealed. David said, make me to hear joy and gladness. Lord, if you don't make me to hear joy and gladness, I won't hear it. I won't hear it. In another place he said, make me to go into the paths of thy commandments. Lord, if you don't order my steps and cause me to follow after Christ, I won't do it. Make me. Make me. In another place he said, make me to know wisdom. Now we know that God has made him, Christ, to be for us wisdom. He is the wisdom of God. And if any man lack wisdom, let him ask it of God, and he'll give it to all men liberally. He upbraideth it not. He delights in revealing himself to his children. We ask him, Lord, show me Christ. Make me to know wisdom. And then in another place, David said, make me to know mine end. Lord, if you don't make me to know mine end, I'll be like everybody else. I'll just be living this world thinking that this is all it is. And I'll have no thoughts of the things that are eternal, the things that are spiritual. I'll walk by sight, not by faith. And I'll walk according to the flesh. Job said, make me to know my transgressions and my sins. I can remember when Gene and Ricardo were first coming here, and I was talking about God making us to be a sinner, and with the translation, the Spanish and English translation, they thought I was saying that God makes us to sin. And they know better than that now. But that's, if the Lord doesn't make us to be a sinner, if he doesn't reveal to us our sinful nature, we'll go about thinking that everything's good. We'll not know that we have no righteousness unless he makes us to know our transgressions and our sins. And so our text says, Lord, make me to understand. I won't understand. I won't see. As I said, I will do what most people are doing today. Most people are studying this book for the benefit of applying its precepts and principles to their temporal experiences and temporal needs. And they're missing Christ altogether. And they'll say, oh yes, you have to be saved from your sins. But they talk about salvation as if it's a means to a much greater end. And the much greater end is living the victorious Christian life and applying all these principles to things that are going to make you successful in this world. I've received a book in the mail last week or week before last, and started reading some of it. And so I guess it's a very popular author in religion, in so-called Christianity. And here's some quotes out of it. We are connecting the heart of God to the heart of culture. Every time I hear somebody in religion talk about culture, man, the red flags go up. We are here to teach people how to live an abundant life, to mobilize a movement to change the world. A progressive faith-based ministry to influence culture. We're going to give biblical answers to modern problems. Biblical response to the things that we face in this world. Now, this is where the majority of Christianity is. A very, very well-known religious author wrote some books. One of them's titled, Don't Waste Your Life. Don't Waste Your Life. I guess the thief on the cross wasted his life. But I tell you what, I'd a whole lot rather be the thief on the cross than Pilate, who had all the privileges of this life and all the benefits of popularity and power. But see, that's what it's all about. He wrote another book called Money, Sex, and Power. And he wasn't talking about money, sex, and power out there. He was talking about how Jesus can help you with your money, your sex, and your power. A Godward life, living a victorious Christian life, overcoming addictions. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, they that walk after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that walk after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. and he goes on to say, and if man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. That's the problem, that people are taking the Bible without the benefit of the Holy Spirit, and they're trying to make application of biblical principles to daily life and missing the Lord Jesus Christ altogether. I was intrigued with the introduction of this book because he gives an illustration of a father who had a young son, and the father needed to get some things done and was trying to find a way to entertain the son for a while to give him something to do. And so the father, knowing that the son didn't know what the world looked like, took a picture of the world and tore it up into little pieces and gave it to his young son and said, there, put that back together. And the little boy came to him just a little while later and had it all put back together. The father didn't realize that on the back side of the paper was a picture of a man. He didn't know what the world looked like, but he knew what a man looked like. And the author of this book said, you get the man right and you get the world right. But he wasn't talking about the man. He was talking about men. Listen to what he says. Transforming people one at a time is at the heart of God's plan for the world. No, what's at the heart of God's plan for the world is total annihilation. That's what's at the heart of God's plan for this world. Fiery judgment. God's not trying to change the world. He goes on to say, it is also essential to develop dynamic marriages, loving families, vibrant Christian communities, thriving businesses and economies, and extraordinary schools and nations. If you get the man right, or the woman, of course, you get the world right. Well, I'd like to use, and the second chapter of his book is Your Happiness Project. Here's what you can do to use the principles of the Bible in order to make yourself happy, because that's the goal of life. I'm telling you, brethren, this is where the majority of people who call themselves Christians are right now. Well, truth is, if you get the man right, you do get the world right. If the Lord ever enables us to see the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, if he opens the eyes of our understanding, if he reveals to us his glory, you know what? Everything else will be fine. That's why Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Christ and him crucified. He could have spoken on a lot of subjects. He could have shed a lot of light on a lot of things that people are troubled with. By the way, what is the solution for sin? Who is the solution for sin? Christ. What about troubles? Whatever they are, family troubles, financial troubles, relationship. What is the solution? Who is the solution? Christ. What about trials? Christ. Christ is all and he's in all. And if we get the man right, then everything else in the world will be okay. Paul said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, the Lord himself, is the prize. I am thy shield and thine exceeding great reward. Let those who walk after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. May God give us his spirit. If we would mind the things of the Spirit and set our affections on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and be determined to not know anything except Christ Jesus the Lord and him crucified. So that when Christ, who is our life, there it is. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Lord, make me to understand. These are not stupid people. They're just blind. They're blind. That are using the Bible in precept upon precept and line upon line, and they're missing Christ. When Christ, who is our life? He doesn't just show us how to live. He himself is our life. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Oh, brethren, can you pray with me? Lord, show me the way of thy precepts. Give me, Give me understanding. You know, I was thinking if the primary purpose of the gospel is to improve your life in this world, then the gospel proved to be a miserable failure for Saul of Tarsus. He had everything going for him. I mean, he says in his testimony, I excelled among my peers. I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. Everybody knew who he was. Probably he was the rich young ruler. He had the world by the tail. I mean, you talk about, and he was religious. He was religious. And he said, those things which I counted gain, I now count them to be but dung. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're not here to preach a message of health, wealth, and prosperity. God may take away your health. One day he will for all of us. One day we're going to lose every bit of our health in one heartbeat. By the way, what do we need then? Christ. Christ. You see, it doesn't get any better than the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can't add to him. He's sufficient. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for everything. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you have your Bibles open. Look at, that's why I say, if the gospel was for the purpose of making life better, think with me for just a minute about Saul of Tarsus and what he had and the privileges that he had and the benefits that he had and the wealth that he had and the accolades that he had. And now look at his life. Verse 24, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Besides all those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care, the burden of the churches. You say, well, did the gospel improve his life? Not as most people consider the improvement of life. Biblical answers to modern culture. It's heresy. Look with me. I'm not preaching against something here that's just a small, insignificant, you know, group over there. This is all of religion. This is all of religion. Why? Because men are minding the things of the flesh. Why? Because that's all they have. All they have is the flesh. They don't have the Spirit of God. But if we have the Spirit of God, we can say with David, Lord, make me to know the way of thy precepts. Reveal Christ to me. Show me that which is eternal and that which is glorious about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he, make me to know the way of thy precepts, so or then shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Oh, you read these. They're just religious self-help books is all they are. And like I said, salvation and the forgiveness of sin and the Lord Jesus Christ is just a means to a much greater end. The greater end is living the successful, victorious, joy-filled. And I'm not talking about people who are just out there on the fringe and the free will. These are the most of the quotes that I made tonight were by Calvinists. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Calvinist. It's called the New Calvinism. Men like John Piper and a whole bunch of other guys are leading the charge, and people are following them by the throngs, thinking that, well, this is it. This is what it's all about. No, it's not what it's all about. It's about Christ. And we speak of his wondrous works. We speak of the work of redemption. What did we have to do with that? Nothing. Nothing. He's the Lamb that entered in. He's the Son, the surety that entered into a covenant promise with his Father before time ever began and became the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Why was he slain? Because it was by his precious blood that he redeemed his elect people. And we talk about redemption. What are we going to do to redeem ourselves? We're always looking to redeem ourselves, aren't we? And men are all full of self-atonement. Well, if I can be an instrument of change in the world, then I can feel like, you know, I've done something for God. And that's all it is they're trying to atone for their own sin. They're trying to redeem themselves. No, David said, Lord, if you'll make me to know the way of thy precepts, if you'll make me to see Christ and glory in him, then I'll speak of what he's done. And I won't talk about what I'm doing. I'll talk about his work of redemption. I'll talk about how he entered into a covenant promise with his Father in electing a particular people and being their surety and promising to do everything necessary. Just like Judah said to Jacob, he said, if I fail to bring him back, you hold it to my charge. Isn't that what he said about Benjamin? I will be for him a surety. You think that the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't successful in accomplishing the salvation of his people? He's our surety. He went back. He took Benjamin back. He brought Benjamin back to his father. And a lot of these Calvinists, they love to glory in their sanctification. You know, and they think it's progressive, and they think they're getting better and better, and they're becoming more and more holy and more effective in changing the world. And no, Christ Jesus, the Lord, is our sanctification. God has made him to be our wisdom, all of our wisdom, all of our sanctification. All of our redemption. The Lord Jesus Christ is all. And so we speak of his glory. Why? Because God has made us. He has made us to see his ways in the precepts of his word. And we keep going to God's word. Lord, show me Christ. Lord, then I'll speak. I'll speak of your wondrous works. What about his work of righteousness? We've not been able to produce any righteousness, but the Lord Jesus Christ did. He is our righteousness. God made him to be our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification. He that sanctifieth, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and they which are sanctified, that's who he redeemed and made holy, are all as one, whereby he's not ashamed to call them his brethren. How did he sanctify us? With his righteousness. God made him sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Lord, if you'll show me, if you'll make me to see the way of thy precepts, I'll speak of thy wondrous works. That's what we do. My brethren, this is my prayer every time I get up here. Every time I prepare to preach, Lord, if you'll make me to see. But this is every believer's prayer. Then we'll speak. We have no righteousness outside of Christ. He is our righteousness. How did he? He became our righteousness by his obedience. And his obedience wasn't just his perfect obedience to the law. The scripture makes it clear that he was obedient, yea, even unto death. Yes, even the death of the cross. So the Father had sent him. That one of these Calvinist preachers wrote another book that 50, that's what it was. 50. The title of the book, I think it was John Piper that wrote it. 50 Reasons Jesus Died on the Cross. Now, I have no idea what he's, you know, what he's got in there, but he justified us before God so that we have no sin before God. Have no sin. He put away the sin of all of his people by the sacrifice of himself once and for all. His shed blood covered their sins. God said, I remember them no more. No more. Perfectly justified in the sight of a holy God so that I can come boldly before the throne of grace, knowing that I have an advocate with the Father, knowing that my sin, we can come with confidence. With confidence. What about adoption? What did we have to do with that? Lord, if you'll show me what Christ has done and how that's revealed in your word, then I'll speak, I'll talk of thy wondrous works. Lord, had you not adopted me? Had you not seen me, Ezekiel chapter 16, in my blood? I mean, I was a deformed child that was born and cast into the field, and I was still in my blood. The Lord said, you weren't swaddled, you weren't loved. They were hoping you'd just go away. And I came by, and I saw you in your blood, and I said, live. Live. Yes, I said, when I saw you in your blood, live. Oh, that's his wondrous works. We didn't have anything to do with that. How do we know that's true? Because he has revealed his way in his precepts to his people who are always looking for Christ. Hey. You know, the religious world will say, well, we're looking to do something for Christ. You know, I'm certain that if we just look for Christ, that there are good works that he has ordained that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which he has ordained. If God's ordained something, it's going to come to be. Matter of fact, everything that comes to pass is ordained of God. Which brings us to providence. He is the one working all things together for good, for them that love God and those that are the called according to his purpose. So we speak of his wondrous works in providence. It's the Lord. I've received such an encouraging email from Lance Heller. Lance Heller preached here many years ago, and he's a missionary in New Guinea. I can't hear. New Guinea? Something like that. Just north of Australia. I know where it is. We were almost there a couple years ago. But Lance's daughter, help me out, Claire, was in a real bad accident. She fell off a cliff hiking up in the mountains in Colorado and suffered a lot of very serious internal injuries and doesn't know if she's going to live. The email that Lance sent out, just, you know, bearing his soul and grieving, you know, in hopes that the Lord will preserve the life of his daughter, but at the same time rejoicing that God's on his throne, he does all things well. And not complaining. Lord, if you'll if you'll show me thy ways, from thy precepts, then we'll talk of thy wondrous works. In Revelation, we can't make me. God, you're gonna have to make me to see Christ. There's nothing in me. This isn't a matter of intelligence or study or Lord, make me to understand who Christ is and what he's done. And give me open the eyes of my understanding. Reveal to me his glory. And Lord, I'll speak of his forgiveness. I'll speak of his forgiveness. And Lord, by your grace, I'll be a forgiving person. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. A lot of people study in the Bible. Very few with any understanding. Nothing's changed. Pharisees were that way. The Lord said very clearly to them, you search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me. Lord, make us to understand thy ways, or thy way. You see, it's singular, thy way. In thy precepts. And we'll just keep talking about your wondrous works. Our Heavenly Father, cause us, make us to understand and to believe. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. 326. Let's stand together. 326.
Jesus, would I know more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me, more about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus. More about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus on his throne, riches and glory all his own, more of his kingdom sure increase, more of his coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me.